You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Wonderful, majestic world around us. It's time for Dear Science. Thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
This week on Dear Science, AUT Professor Alan Blackman joins us live in the studio. Today we have a fascinating mix of topics, the running of the bulls in Pamplona, the impact of spaceflight on the body, and how cataracts and dementia are linked. Hi, Alan. It's great to have you here today.
Hi, Christina. It is so good to be back in the studio. This is the first time since August, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Must be nice to get away from the house.
The house, the lab, whatever. But no, this is great. So it's wonderful to be back in person and talking to real people face-to-face. Love it.
So. Awesome. Yeah, so every week on the show we have you or Marcus to talk about science. And a couple of weeks ago it was crazy stuff like particle accelerators. But our first topic this week is a bit of a random one.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The running of the bulls. So for people who don't know what that is, it's a festival that takes place every year in Spain where people, well, run from bulls. And this is in the narrow streets of Pamplona.
It is.
Now, research is looking at the festival as a way to study crowd behaviour. But most onlookers probably wouldn't describe the event as very methodical. So what can we learn from such a chaotic event?
Well, that's a very, very good question. When I saw this, I thought, yeah, what's that got to do with science? But let's ask the question, how do people react in emergencies? What do they do? So let's say you got a fire or an earthquake or something like that. You know, what's people's first inclination is to run. Where do they run? How fast do they run? How fast can they run? You know, things like fire exits and stuff like that. How do we design those in order to get the optimal movement of people who are in a panic through them? And then you think, well, how are you going to design an experiment to be able to look at that? Because that's not going to pass any ethical approval at all. Putting people in a panic and then getting them to react, that ain't going to fly, okay? But there were some researchers, or there are some researchers in Argentina and Spain, and they thought, hang on a minute, they run one of these every year, and this is the running of the bulls, and this is where people are put in danger, and we can see how they react, and we can see basically what they do. So this was what they did, and the results of this has just been published in the very prestigious journal, The Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. So they decided to go to Pamplona in 2019 and basically film the running of the bulls with a few cameras that could basically monitor the movements of absolutely everybody who are involved in the running of the bulls. So they can figure out how fast they're going, in which direction they're going, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is brilliant. Now, a personal aside here, I've actually been to the running of the bulls. I was lucky enough to go quite a few years ago now.
And clearly you were successful in not getting caught.
I didn't actually run with them. Let's just say I watched. But the most remarkable thing was arriving in town at about 9 a.m. and the running of the bulls goes at about 8 a.m. and just seeing the entire centre of the town just littered with comatose people dressed in white and red, because what they do is they get liquored up beforehand for a bit of bravery, and then they run with the ball, and then they're just absolutely... It was just bodies everywhere. It was just remarkable.
Bit of liquid of courage there.
Oh, a lot. So anyway, this is what they did. This is a great ground application, isn't it? Oh, I want to go to Spain and, you know, look at the running of the bulls. So this is what they did, and they analysed all of the data, and what they sort of expected to find was, as the density of people in the crowd increased, you'd expect that they would move more slowly. That's what we would expect. But in fact, they found the opposite, which is really weird. That up to a certain point, as the crowd density started to get greater and greater and greater, that the average speed with which people were running actually increased.
Oh.
I know. And then, through analysis and stuff like that, they found that the optimum density for this increase in speed was around about 1 to 2 people per square meter. Okay? Now, when it got higher than that, then they found a very sharp drop-off in the maximum velocity of people. And again, the obvious reason being that people got in the way, you'd start tripping over, you'd start falling over, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's basically what they found, that any person density, if you want to call it that, greater than 2 people per square meter you really couldn't go any faster than a fast jog. Okay, anything faster than that, you'd start falling over and stuff like that. And so you might sort of think, well, you know, whoop-de-doo, so what? They spent the money, they went to Pamplona, they had fun. But again, it does have implications in basically human behavior. That's what this is all about. And, you know, it's a brilliantly designed experiment that really didn't need any design because it was all basically right there staring everybody right in the face. And these guys were the first people to obviously think of this and go and do this study. So, you know, good luck to them. And, you know, this will hopefully have an effect on, you know, maybe in the future, how we think about the design of escape paths in things like fire exits and stuff like that. So, yeah, really nice piece of work there. Very clever.
That's really interesting because obviously you can't manufacture that kind of panic without violating a bunch of ethical things like you mentioned before.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Cool. So on to our next topic today, space flight.
Yep.
Researchers have been sending mice to space and, you know, I can't help thinking about like little mouse astronauts just going to space in tiny little spacecraft. But
the little hats on. Oh, God.
Obviously, that's not the case. But the findings from this research show us how the conditions in space affect the body and particularly the liver. So what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, when you're talking about mice in space, I just had this flashback to the Muppets and pigs in space. But you're probably too young to remember that. Probably.
I'll pretend to know.
Yeah, indeed. All my jokes are old. Anyway, so one day we're going to go to Mars. It's going to happen, just a matter of when. And the very, very brave people who are going to go to Mars are going to spend an awful lot of time in a totally alien environment, no pun intended. So it's, I think, with the sort of perfect alignment of the planets, I think it's 9 months there, 9 months back. And so therefore we need to know something about how the conditions in space is going to affect the human body. And, you know, we don't know a heck of a lot about that. We've only been into space over the last, 50, 60 years? 1957 was the first. No, 1961, Gagarin. And so instead of, you know, sending people up there as quote-unquote guinea pigs, obviously what we do is to send up animals and see how they survive. So as you said, what some researchers in Japan did, or have recently done anyway, was to send some mice up into space on the International Space Station. And so they got a grand total of 12 mice, which they sent up for 1 month on the ISS. And what they did, very clever again, was that six of the mice, they put in a little centrifuge that would simulate the same gravity that mice on Earth would feel. So they were feeling a gravitational attraction of one G, which we call it, even though they are up in space. And the other six mice were left to, I guess, literally float around. And that just, the mental image there is very cute. Now, not quite so cute. At the end of that month, they were returned to Earth. Sadly, they were quote-unquote sacrificed. I hate that word.
Ooh,
yeah, yeah, I know. And their livers were analysed. Okay, and the reason that they did this was that there had been previous work that sort of thought that being in space might have an effect on the liver. And, you know, what's the thing in space? Well, obviously, you've got the whole zero gravity thing, or the microgravity if you're orbiting Earth. And then you've got all of this radiation up here, all the solar radiation that you don't experience on Earth. So how can this then potentially affect things? So they analysed their livers, and in particular, they were looking for molecules that contain sulfur. Because in our livers, we have these sulfur-containing compounds that are called antioxidants, okay? And their job is essentially to mop up any nasty compounds that are formed from oxygen. Now, oxygen, you think, is relatively benign. You know, we need that to survive. But when the body processes oxygen, it can form nasty compounds like superoxide, for example. That's not the best thing for you. It can form peroxide as well. And these can then react with biological molecules and do damage, which is not great. So those sulfur compounds are designed so that they can react with those nasty compounds and stop them doing damage to your organs. So what they found was really interesting was that they, when they analyzed the mice livers, they found that there was a definite decrease in the amount of these sulfur-containing compounds in the livers. And that is going to leave their livers more open to the effect of oxidative stress, which is what this is called. Okay, so, and not only that, they also found that there was a greater expression of genes that are related to this oxidative stress thing and also related to sulfur metabolism. In other words, you're going to chew through these sulfur compounds a lot more rapidly. Okay, and so that leads to the decrease in their concentrations or amounts in the liver. And so that's a really, really interesting finding, because what it's looking like is that for some reason, and again, they're not sure why, being up in space can cause a decrease in the amount of these antioxidants in your liver. And that could, you know, over a 9-month period, if you're busy flying to Mars, that could cause all sorts of problems, obviously. Now, interestingly, the mice up in space that they put into the artificial gravity so that they were experiencing the same gravity as they would on Earth, they were not affected as much. So that's kind of interesting, okay? And so essentially the guts of it is, obviously, artificial gravity is important. So if you're going to go a long way on a spacecraft, you need some sort of artificial gravitational something going on there. And secondly, obviously some sort of dietary supplement so that you can replenish these antioxidant compounds that are in your liver that are being, goodness knows how, chewed up up in space there. So this is just one of many, 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 I'm sure, experiments that are going on with, you know, the ultimate goal of humans going to Mars, I guess. So, you know, nice stuff, interesting. Sad about the mouse sacrifice, though.
Well, they sacrificed their lives in the name of travelling to Mars.
So. That's true. And they got to go into space, you know. That's pretty cool. Yeah, exactly.
Cool. I think that might be all the time we've got for today. But
okey-coke.
If we want to save our last topic for
next
show. Next show. We'll all be back in
true,
in the studio.
Probably next year.
Yeah, so this is my last one for this year. So thank you all, listeners. And thank you hugely to MOTAT for sponsoring this. It's hugely appreciated. So.
No, really good to have you here today and looking forward to next year.
Absolutely. Have a great holiday season, you guys, and we'll see you all in the next year.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Okay. See ya.
Well, I didn't know that before. Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, the museum inspiring the innovators of tomorrow.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.